Good morning, everybody. Good almost air of Rosh Hashanah. So here's the plan. We last left our heroes. our last class, if you remember, we ended with two. Again, let's be clear. There are no strange Gemaras. There are Gemaras that seem strange at first glance. Two seemingly very difficult to understand Gemaras, which will be the basis of a whole bunch of classes, with the punchline being a slam dunk, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. That's the plan, man. Just to remember quickly, the issues were one Gemara in which a heavenly voice came down and told the Chachamim they were wrong, and that Rabbi Lazar, who they were arguing, was correct, and they just didn't pay. They said, we don't care. We don't pay attention to Baskels, which, like, I don't understand. If you're trying to find out the truth, if God says, here, I'm God, I'll tell you the truth. You don't tell them, like, stay out of this, seemingly. Right? That's what it sounds like on a very simple level. And then, of course, the Baskel came down again, right, after we just said we don't listen to Baskels, right, and said, okay, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, they're both Elu ve'elu divrei, they're both the word of Hashem. But we're going to go with Beis Hillel because they were nice and they were pleasant, etc. How can they both be the word of Hashem? They both meant well, but they were mutually exclusive opinions, so that they meant. How does that work? And there's multiple ways to take that whole thing, but there are the famous Gemaras of which so many different approaches are taken. We are not going to continue with that. I just want people to not think that I lost my mind. Right? We are going to now break. We're going to do Hilchas Tshuva. We're going to do a little Hilchas Tshuva of the Rambam this class and next class of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The plan is to get far enough in the Rambam that the seemingly huge problem of what he says will become crystal clear, and then the answer and the brilliant insight will come next week during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That's the plan. And then after that, we have Wednesday before Sukkot, we still have a class, I assume, I guess, I didn't ask. Yes, okay, so then we'll have to see, maybe we'll do something Sukkot stick or something, because we're not gonna start that whole oral law again now, it's just nuts. Then Bar Mitzvah Shem, we have a nice long stretch after Sukkot, right, Kanai Nohara, and then we'll take the Gemaras again, we'll do Reb Yaakov, and Kabbalistic approaches, and there's so many different ways you can take it, okay, and we'll do that together. So, that having been said, here we go. We have, well done in advance, all these nice photocopied sheets. So here you go. Where someone gives out a source sheet, and it's clear that he didn't photocopy everything, because you got to ask, what did he leave out? So, in obviously Hilchas Tshuva Perek Aleph of the Rambam, there's more than one halacha. Right, we would all know that. But I didn't photocopy it, okay? Trees, paper, okay? You got to just, you're going to have to trust me on that, all right? There you go. So watch. Our first issue, which is not so crucial, but just out of curiosity, show of hands, what do we assume? Is there a mitzvah to do tshuva? Mitzvah to eat matzah, mitzvah to hear shofar, first night of sukkahs, whether you're hungry or not, go find yourself a sukkah and a piece of bread, and you got it, it's a mitzvah to eat in a sukkah. You get a mitzvah eating in a sukkah during the rest of the week if you happen to have a sukkah and have some bread. You don't feel like eating, don't eat, right? So there, you have to eat in a sukkah the first night. If you eat sukkah, you get a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Mitzvah to hear shofar. Is there a mitzvah to do tshuva? Like there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, right? Or blow shofar, right? Is there a mitzvah to do tshuva? What do you think? What do you assume? Whatever you say, it's going to be somebody's opinion. You know that. let's be honest about this, folks. No. We're adults in the room. Let's say no. So the bigger question is, it's not even so much a question because there's different opinions. The bigger issue is, what does the Rambam think? Because, right? What does the Rambam think? Is there a mitzvah to do tshuva? You get a piece of paper? Oh, you read ahead. You cheated. If somebody already knows the Rambam, you can't, like, raise your hand and sound smart. That's not fair. Not fair. Okay. I always had students like that, you know? So what do you think? And I see the kids, like, looking ahead two pages to see. Right. Absolutely. So watch. The Rambam's pretty clear. That's to speak straightforward Hebrew here. Kol mitzvot shabbat Torah. All the mitzvahs in the Torah, bein asei, whether it's a positive one, eat matzah, hear shofar, bein lo tasei, don't speak lashon hara, im avar adam alachat mehen, if you transgressed any one of them, bein bizadon, on purpose, I don't care, I'm eating treif, bein bishkaga, it was a mistake, you looked at the bag, you took the wrong thing off the shelf, you didn't realize, kishiya aset tshuva, when you will do tshuva, V'yashuv mechet o, and leave your sin. Chayav litvadot. You're obligated to confess lefnei akel baruch hu in front of Hashem. Shenemar brings a pasuk. Isha isha, man or a woman, kiyasu, if you do mikol any of the sins in the Torah, hitvadu. You must confess achatatam, asher osu, the sins you did. Zevidui dvarim. This is a vidui with words. You can't think it. It's words. You got to say it. Hello, my name is Joe. I'm an alcoholic. You got to say it. Vidui zeh, mitzvat aseh. The vidui is a mitzvat aseh. Many people want to say, just on this Rambam, I mean, that seems to be the simple translation of the words. Vidui zeh, mitzvat aseh. When you will do tshuva. Almost analogous to, is there a mitzvah to return objects you stole? Yes. Right? Yes. Is there a mitzvah to steal so you can return them? Obviously not. If you stole an object and you're going to return it, is there a mitzvah to return it? If you choose to do tshuva, that's very nice. You don't do tshuva, don't do tshuva. Whatever you want, man. But if you do tshuva, you can do the mitzvah vidui. Seemingly, tshuva itself is an opportunity to cleanse yourself, way to get out of Gehenna, smart idea, stupid thing to not bother with. But the phrasing seems to make it, right, that he clearly stresses the vidui. It's the vidui that's the mitzvah to say, and for our purposes, to set up our big slam dunk bam problem, it's clear that vidui is only exists once you've done tshuva. You don't say vidui, you say, I'm sorry, I never do it again, and then you do tshuva. Once you've done tshuva, say vidui. You haven't done tshuva, so don't say anything. That's what it seems, right? Which would seemingly, at very first glance, put Yom Kippur in a problematic light. That's our goal, is to increase this question to a breaking point, right? Meaning, on Yom Kippur, we say vidui a lot of times, right? We say vidui, right? We say it five times in a silent Shemoneh Esrei, right? Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and then, of course, Ne'ilah. We do it five times again in the Chazarat HaShatz, it makes 10. And we even do it Erev Yom Kippur, right? The famous Erev Yom Kippur Mincha, because just in case you like choke to death at your Suda, you don't want to miss the opportunity. So that's 11 times to say vidui. Taken at simple face value, right? If we're assuming that the vidui here on this piece of paper is the vidui of our Yom Kippur Magzer, which of course the punchline to the answer is that it's not, but if assuming it's the same, then, wait a minute, you only say vidui if you've done tshuva. And how many of those are there? Some we've done tshuva, we used to do it, yeah, 10 years ago, I've done it, I haven't done it for 10 years, Valtik, I'm sure, we all have. But there's tons of things that, you know this year, next year is going to be different. God, I'm really never going to do it again. It's like your mom, you said that last year. Yeah, no, but this year, like, I'm really never going to do it again. You said that 20 years ago, fuck your mom. No, but you don't understand. This time, I'm really never going to do it again. Right? You don't say vidui till you've done tshuva, right? And we're going to see the tshuva process. And by the time we see the tshuva process, and I publicly asked Mechila from the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't need me to tell him how amazing it is. But like once you see the brilliance, the godless, how of course it's right. The tshuva process, it will be crystal clear why vidui has no place anywhere until you finish the entire long-term healthy process, and that ain't a 10-day process. And therefore, what the heck are we doing on Yom Kippur? That's the punchline. That's where we're going, sir. Okay? That's the overall plan. By the way,
after this Yom Kippur, this whole part of the season is over, then somebody should get at least something out of it in terms of...
Wait till the punchline. Bidiyuk. That is what the punchline's going to be. That this vidui that we're going to read now in the Rambam, and this complex and very healthy tshuva process, that we're going to learn of the Rambam is true and great and generally true, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkot is a different ballgame. Completely different ballgame. Completely different ballgame. Has to be understood completely differently, because the whole point is, and that's the punchline, the whole point is that you need to walk away with some kind of practical change. And what the Rambam describing, it's a 10-year process. So you can just, like, you know, put Yom Kippur aside and put everything aside, and that you work on something for 5 years, and then, like, you get with the program. That's ridiculous, right? Exactly your point. Absolutely correct. Watch. Let's read the Vidui just for the heck of it. We're going to go back to it again. But this is what you're supposed to say, right? Vidui, right, I'm sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down, right? Right? Ketzad mitvadin. How do we say vidui? So mitzvah saseis, the Rambam tells you how to do mitzvah saseis. He tells you what lulav is, tells you what a sukkah is, he'll tell you what vidui is. How do we do vidui? And he gives us the nusach. And if you're really good, you'll realize this is not actually the wording we say on Yom Kippur. That's going to be the punchline. See, with kids, they don't realize that. And they're like, And then someone says, is that exactly what we did? I don't remember that from the Maggid. I said, great, that's excellent. You're right, it's not. Omer, here's the vidui of the mitzvah to say of the Rambam. Ana Hashem, please Hashem. Again, we'll go over this again.
Where are you now?
We are 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down, 4 words in. Ketzad mitvadin. Right? We're going to go over this again piece by piece. I'm just reading this quickly just so you see overall. Ana Hashem, chatasi avisi pashati, 3 different words for sin. When we go over it, we'll discuss the differences. Lefanecha, in front of you. Didn't just, like, in front of you, that's a chutzpah. Ve'asiti kach v'kach. And that's the famous Rambam. You have to specify the avera. Overall, chatasi avisi pashati. Specifically, what I'm talking about right now is asiti kach v'kach. I used to... I don't know, not daven mincha. I used to, you know, be really not nice to my coworker, but I've changed, and it's all, life is different, right? V'hareini nichamti. I regret not having been nice to that person. I regret, I don't know, stealing money, being dishonest or whatever. Uboshti. I actually embarrassed that I ever did it, but masai my actions. Uliolam eini chozer ledavar. Zeh, and I will never do it again. And that's the issue. If that's the vidui of Yom Kippur, on how many things can we honestly look God in the face and say, I'll never do it again? At our age, you know, more than my 15-year-old students, that's true, right? But still, I mean, let's be honest, all of us, there's things that I'll try not to do it again, I'm working on it, I'm doing a class, I'm a little better than last year, I'm a little better than I was, yeah, but that's not what Rambam says. Rambam says, you're supposed to say, I'll never do it again. That's going to be our punchline problem. But watch, again, there's no nice way to say this, that doesn't sound chutzpahdik, but watch how the gewaltig it really fits in when we see the Rambam's understanding of tshuva. You'll see it's like a peladigas system. Okay, fine. Then he's like karbanos. Okay, we don't have karbanos. Mirtz Hashem, maybe by this Yom Kippur we will. We don't. And then the Rambam goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. In Perek Beis, he said, well, you only say vidui if you've done tshuva. So what's tshuva? I got to tell you what tshuva is. You don't do vidui until you've done tshuva. What's tshuva? And funny enough, he starts with a zohi tshuva gemura, what's complete tshuva. We're going to skip that for now, and let's just do plain tshuva, and then we'll discuss what's tshuva, because see halacha beis? Umahi ha tshuva, what is tshuva? Halacha aleph is a zohi tshuva gemura, and beis is umahi ha tshuva. So there's obviously tshuva gemura, and there's plain old tshuva. Let's start with plain old tshuva. And we'll worry about tshuva gemura later. The famous 5-step tshuva process of the Rambam. And we're going to do it slow but sure. I apologize. Actually, I created this sheet for my seminary girls, and it had English, and it was broken up, and it was much easier to deal with. But then when I sent the sources to the OU, I sort of like, I didn't pick that one. I just picked this original one, because 15-year-olds need it, like, really, like, blocked out, right? 17-year-olds. Umayat Shuvah, 5 steps. And interestingly enough, step number one is who? She'azov ha'chote chet'o. One, period. She'azov ha'chote chet'o. You stop doing it. How do you stop doing it? Why do you stop doing it? Rambam doesn't tell us. Why doesn't he tell us how to stop doing it? Say the Mefarshim two reasons. One, he can't tell you how to stop doing it, for every person is different. Some people's speeches do it, some people, God forbid, a tragedy does it, some people's a lack of information, some people need rewards. There's a lot of different reasons why you could start doing something better, right? Right, exactly. So the Rambam can't tell you how, because I don't know how. So some people, guilt does the job. when I teach the seminary girls, so I said, somebody said, well, you know, like if you feel bad, that is, I said, wait a minute, ladies, how many girls in this room, how many girls and Rabbi Feigenbaum in this room have stuff they feel really bad about, but they still do it? Right? I raised my hand. I said, it's like feeling bad is great. Like feeling bad does not necessarily get you to change. For some people, it does. For some people, it's info. For some people, it's, I don't know, you get a prize, right? You give yourself a prize, right? The practice, the therapy, I don't know. But absolutely correct. Say the Mefarshim, the most important thing is, you know why the Rambam doesn't tell us how you stop? Because it don't matter. He doesn't care. Stop because... You know, I don't know. You get. Someone gives you $100 every time you don't do it. Fine. Stop. I don't know why. Who cares? We don't care why you stop doing it or start doing the good thing. We always pick like the negative. Let's do the start doing the good thing. That's also nice, right? It doesn't matter why. Why? Because the key, according to the Rambam, is you need to prove to yourself that you can do it. If you don't think you can do it, all the I'll never do it again, and all the promises, and all the classes, and all the guilt, and all the regret, and I'm sorry, and I'm embarrassed, and I feel terrible, and it's really the wrong thing to do, and I'm promising, and after next week I'm going to diet, and in 2 weeks I'm going to diet, and after 6 weeks I'm going to diet, and after Hanukkah I'll diet, right? All that does is if you're still doing it, it makes you feel like, to use a teenage word, makes you feel like a loser. You end up feeling like, I'm doing this bad stuff, and it's terrible, it's really terrible. No, it's really not, it's not the right thing to do. Like, you shouldn't be doing that, you know that? Like, what does it matter with you? You just read a book, you went to a shir, you bought the sefer, you learned the halachas, what is your problem? Like, get a hold of yourself, man. Like, and then you feel worse, because now I read the sefer, and I went to the class, and I did my research, and yikes, it really is bad, and it really is usher. So stop, next week. You begin to feel, you feel like, I'll never change. I can't. I'm a horrible person. Listen to a yesod. I'm going to jump ahead with one yesod. The Rambam is going to say you have to regret the past, right? Charata. Everybody knows charata, regret the past. What's the difference between regret and guilt? Guilt focuses on the person. Regret focuses on the action. The old parenting thing when your three-year-old colors on the wall, right? You don't say, what a bad little boy. How can you write a bad little boy? You don't say, how can such a good little boy do something so horrible? Regret is healthy. That was the wrong thing to do. That was inappropriate. That wasn't nice. Look at my coworker. What's the matter? It's a wrong thing to do. Guilt is I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. I'm a horrible person. I'm a Russia. I'm a rotten person. I'm a bad person. Bad people don't change. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. That's not healthy. So if you feel bad and you regret and you promise, before you've broken the habit, before you honestly can know that you can really do the right thing, then you're going to make promises, I'll never do it again, and you're going to regret, say it was a horrible thing to do, and then tomorrow you're going to do it. And what's that going to make you feel like? Worse.
Tshuva as a...
Oh, so watch, 100%. So watch. Because here's where the Rambam's going. You're absolutely right. See, because if the Rambam doesn't want you to do, because the Rambam has already paskin for us, that vidui is, I'll never do it again, he doesn't want you to say that until you have every reason to believe that that's true.
Just one day at a time.
Right. So, and remember, the vidui is, I'll never do it again. That's going to be the punchline of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, we don't say, I'll never do it again. Yom Kippur is like part of the 12-step process. The Rambam misses a say of vidui, which has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He doesn't say the word Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't say the word Yom Kippur. Though it's not here, right? I mean, it will show up, and he'll say, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is there. I was not talking about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Talk about this, the Rambam's talking about all year, in the middle of January. If you can comfortably now say, I'll never do it again, that's what you're up to for whatever reason, took 5 years, stand up in your bedroom, put on a yarmulke, and say, Chatasi Visi Bashati, I used to do this, I regret having done it, I'm never going to do it again. This is a say, Gavaldi, you do that 12 o'clock at night in your bedroom, right? If that's where you're holding. But to start the process that way, you know, okay, you know, that's really a wrong thing to do, I'm never going to do it again. Get that with kids all the time, right? Right, right. Kids do that all the time. That's the right thing, Mom. I'm never going to. I said, well, I'm going to daven every day. I said, well, no, that's right. I said, why don't you say I'll daven every Tuesday? Well, let's start with that. Okay, sweetie pie. No, really, I'm going to die. I said, you're saying that, and then when a week goes by and you don't, you're going to say, ach, I give up, and you're going to walk out. I said, that's right. And absolutely correct. The whole godless of sponsorships, Chavrus is 100%. I mean, if you know him, he like connected it to Torah. It was godless what Dreytursky Zatzal did. It was a... Right, like Mamish. I mean, he's like my hero. Yeah, he was. That was a huge.
His.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Oh no, unbelievable. And I never personally met him. He's one of those people that like I wish I would have known. You know, those people. I never met the guy. I just saw videos. You know what I mean? You should know when people ask me for books, I said if it's Rabbi Tversky, buy it. It works. It's good. So watch. It's the inside. So exactly. So Rambam is talking about the real tshuva process, where you can end it with a real video of I'll never do it again. So the first thing he says is Yazov Achotei Chetu. First you got to stop doing it. Stop doing it. Stop doing it once a week, then it's twice a week, then it's three times a week. But you got to break the habit. Otherwise you won't believe you can do it. How can you promise when you have no reason to believe that you're really going to fulfill that promise? Right? You have no reason to believe you're going to fulfill the promise. You've never yet not done it, or you never, why do we always do not? You've never yes done it. Let's do something happy, right? You've never yes done it. You've never, you know, gone to the hospital to visit people. You've never yes done it. How do you know you can do it? Every day I'm going to do a mitzvah, bigger call. You've never walked into a hospital. You've never done it yet. It's a big mitzvah. How do you know if you can do it? How are you going to do it? Don't promise. Start, go once a week, walk to a hospital, see how it goes, right? They build it up and watch the next point, and this will fit. One Yazova Chote Cheto, the, and number two, Yisiro mi machshav to. Take it out of your thoughts, meaning it's not a struggle anymore. You know, my example to my students always is, I'm driving from Toronto to New York and we stop on the road at a, you know, at one of these stops. We go in to go to the bathroom and buy a drink. Like, you know, did I say, well, I'm really hungry. Cheeseburger. Well, maybe it's chicken. It's only drabunin, it's only chicken. And I'll eat it. I don't think about it. It's like it's McDonald's. I walk in, walk out. I don't even think about it. You know, I come home and, you know, it was like the students were nuts. I'm not telling you, you want to hear a funny story about 10th grade? That's Lashon Hara. Yeah, but it's a funny story. Yeah, but it's not really Lashon Hara. She doesn't know who the 10th graders are. Right? My struggle, you know, it's a funny story. It's Lashon Hara, sort of, maybe. Right? You see, Romi Machshavto, it's not a struggle for you anymore.
Are you talking about where it says,
no, we're not up to there yet. Very first line, Umayi Atshuva. One, step one, Hu She'ozei Bachotei Cheto. Step two, the Yisiro Mi Machshavto. See, now that it's not a struggle, step three, Yigmor B'libo Shalo Yaseyu Od. Now decide you'll never do it. Because I can decide I'll never do it because I don't struggle with it anymore. It's very been there, done that 2 years ago. Which could take a whole 12-step process. You're absolutely right.
Life.
Life, which is our Yom Kippur problem, right? If Yom Kippur Vidui is what we're talking about here, Yo Habibi, like exactly what are we saying Vidui on Yom Kippur if Yom Kippur is this? That's going to be the punchline. Yom Kippur is not this. This is all year for the rest of your life, 120 years, you know, and it can happen any time of the day. You work on it, and once you're at a point of, I think I can say I'll never do it again. So say it. Don't wait for Shabbos. Don't wait for Yom Kippur. Don't wait for Rosh Hashanah. Don't go to shul. You know, just stand up and tell God, God, I think you've noticed. I used to do this, and I haven't done it for a long time. I'm never going to do it again. Good luck. Hatzlacha. Right? And we ain't doing that on Yom Kippur. That's exactly the point. And we're not supposed to do that on Yom Kippur because, as the Rambam says, deciding you'll never do it again before you are sure that's true will make you feel like a loser. Deciding you'll never do it again, and then the next day you do it, destroys your self-confidence, destroys your self-esteem. It's guilt. You're a bum. My parenting classes, never call your kid, what are you, a bum? Why are you dressing like that? You're a bum? Chas v'shalom. Say, such a wonderful young lady. How could you dress like that? Such a smart young man. 40, you can do better than 43. You're such a beautiful, you're such a brilliant guy. Well, what happened to, how'd you get a 43 on your test? Not, what are you, stupid? Stupid kids get 43s. You're stupid, right?
Two very fast things. So one,
even slow. Godless? Bidiyuk? Exactly. Exactly. Oh, interrupt with my favorite shlaw. That just reminded me. This is a total parenthetical aside. I can't help myself. I'm sorry. Right? Shlaw Kadosh. Want to hear a great word from the Shlaw Kadosh? Says the Shlaw Kadosh. My Peladik. Says the Shlaw Kadosh like this. There's a pasuk in Mishle that says, Al tochach leitz, don't rebuke a scoffer. Pen yisna eka. He'll just hate you. He doesn't want to hear rebuke. Rebuke a wise person. So yeah, and then he'll love you because he'll want to hear rebuke. Says the Shlah, al tochach leitz, don't rebuke someone by calling them a leitz. You leitz, you scoffer, you... They'll just hate you. They're not going to listen. Hocheach l'chacham, just like that person. Rebuke them by calling them a chacham. Oh, you're such a chacham. How could you do that? You're such a chacham. It doesn't fit you. Then they'll love you, and then they'll listen. Great word of the shlah. Gemalti. So again, yazov chetei cheto. However, whatever, just prove to yourself that you can do it. V'yisirom imachshav to. And it's not just a one-time thing, because then, you know, we change for 2 days, and then we go back, and we go up, and we go down, and we go back, and we go up. It has to not be a struggle anymore. Once it's not a struggle, then of course you're not going to do it again because it's not a struggle. Very good. Well, that just happened yesterday in seminary. I said nobody ever asked it. Sheva Yipol Tzadik. Yes. Sheva Yipol Tzadik. Yes, so girls always, some kids will all be are smart enough to ask. What, nobody ever crashes? You're right. Sheva Yipol Tzadik v'kam, Shlomo Melech says, Tzadikim fall. Who was it? Don't trust yourself. Who was it? It was Kohen Gadol for 80 years, Pirkei Avos. Oh my gosh, thank you, right. Rav Yochanan was a Kohen Gadol, 80 years, he became a Tzaduki. Yeah, so what the Rambam, of course, means is obviously we have free will, life changes, you never know what's going to happen. But,
right.
But he's talking about a basically meaning, once it's not a struggle, right, to be able to say, you know, I'm not going to do this again, all things being equal, at least it's a safe, sane decision once you reach a point where it's not a struggle. Doesn't mean something's going to happen and you're going to relapse. If it's an addiction, for sure. Even if not, just, you know, issues, emotional things. You have a bad day, life goes on, things crash, your life is falling apart, you lose your balance, and, you know, you're just like, you crash and you're embarrassed of yourself. Okay, you'll pick yourself up. Obviously, right? You have free will. But the Rambam doesn't want you to decide until there's reason to believe that that's true. And that's only when it's not a struggle. And he brings a pasuk. Yazov hachotei darko. First, the evil person leaves his path. Vishaven machshavotav. And the wicked person will leave his thoughts. So you see, first you leave your path, then you leave your thoughts, right? And step number four, v'chein yitnachem al she'avar, regret the past. As the pasuk says, ki acharei shuvi, after I left the evil ways, nichamti, then I regret it. Because now regretting it, now that you've proved to yourself that you are a good person, you haven't done it for a while, or you have done it for a while, and you are a good person, right? Then you can say, that act was really a bad thing to do. Me? I'm a quality person. Look how much I struggle. I don't do it anymore. I used to do it, yeah, I did it, but I cracked it. I broke it. I moved on. Look at me, good for me, I'm a hero. You feel positive about yourself, it's regret, focusing on the act, not guilt. Oy vey, I'm a bad person. Oy, I'm such a big Russia. Oy, I'm such an oysvorf. Oy, I can't believe. Ach, I'm such a bad guy. Ach, I'm so selfish. Oh, I'm such a critical guy. Well, I'm a critical guy. You stay a critical guy. You say, I spoke critically, but look, I've worked on it, and I've learned to hold my tongue. Then it's a healthy regret. Right. What does the Gemara say? Rishayim Maleim Harata. The wicked are full of regrets. They're always regretting, but they stay Rishayim. Right. Everyone regrets. That's the brilliance. I mean, again, not for me to say brilliant. You see the healthy tshuva process. The Rambam wants you to come end up being positive with yourself, looking at yourself as a quality person who did bad things, and the more you regret the action, the more of a quality person you realize you are, because look how far I've come. Oh, my gosh. That was really bad. That was really extremely, like, inappropriate and horrible, right? But look, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is, 2 weeks, whatever it is, I'm better, and it's not a struggle, Baruch Hashem. I could say I'm never going to do it again, all things being equal. And the Rambam wants to tell you.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
Oh, so watch the next line. Right, because it's a phrase. It's not Latin, really. Right, wicked people are full of regrets. Wicked people are saying, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, you know, I'm going to change. You know, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, tomorrow I'm really going to be better." Right, but they don't do anything. Right, you know, yeah, it's easy to say, "Oh, that was bad. I'm sorry. It was bad. I'm sorry." Like, don't say I'm bad. It's bad. I'm sorry. Like, do something. Now, see, here's what the Rambam says. Because you just said I'm never going to do it again, but you don't know yourself. All right. You don't know what's coming up in the future. You don't know what tests you're going to hit. You have no idea. How firm does a regret have to be? So here's a parenthetical phrase from the Rambam. V'yaid alav yodea ta'alumot. Yaid, testimony. Yodea ta'alumot, the one who knows all secrets, Hashem. He can testify on you. Shelo yashuv l'zeh ha'chet li'olam. That you will never go back to that sin. Shademar, v'lo na'amar od Eloheinu, l'maaseh yadeinu. Meaning, it has to be sincere enough that God can say that where you're at now, you will not, and this is how people explain it, maybe that'll help what's the obvious question. If you look carefully at his wording, Ya'id alav yodea ta'alumot, shelo yashuv l'ad, he won't go back to that sin. Which means he won't consciously go back to that sin. Doesn't mean he won't trip up or crash, right? But he's not going to consciously change his mind. You know what? 2 years, I decided, you know, I think I'm going to go back to eating trays. No, that's not going to do. Things might happen. He might crash. He might have an addiction, right? Life might change, right? But to just say, you know, he said he's never going to do it again, but I know that he's really thinking, I'm going to try it for a year and see what happens. Try it for a year and see what happens. Try it for a year and see what happens. And that might be the right thing to say. That don't say, I'll never do it again. If you're saying, I'll never do it again, it must be sincere that you are certainly not going to consciously go back and do that. Will you trip? Are you human? Are there triggers, you know, that might be beyond your control and you'll fall? It didn't say you'll never fall. It said you won't consciously go back to it. Like, change your mind and say, change my mind. You know, I'm out. Right. And then v'tzarich l'dvadot b'sfatav. Then you have to confess with your lips, Rabban's very big on speaking it out, right? You know, I'm Joe, I'm an alcoholic, got to speak it out, got to say it. Velomar, you got to say. Inyanot elu, these issues, these topics, this whole thing, shagamar b'libo, which you just, you know, decided in your heart, this whole process, you got to speak it out. And now let's look at the Rambam's vidui again. Let's go back up to Halacha Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down from the top of the page. Two words in. Ketzad mitzvah deh. Remember, the Rambam says, once you've done tshuva, then you say vidui. So it means we're talking about someone who has stopped doing it, doesn't struggle with doing it, is therefore confident enough to say that I will certainly consciously never go do it again, regrets doing it, meaning he's focusing on the evilness of the action, he's a quality person, but regret doing that evil action, now he's saying vidui. Omer. Ana Hashem. Please Hashem. Say it for sure. Why does he start with that? What's Ana Hashem? Start saying Chatasi Avisi. I said, what's this Ana Hashem opening phrase? Because the Rambam wants to remind you that when you do a chait, you distance yourself from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Besides, you were not nice to that person. Besides the fact that you stole people's money. Besides the fact that, I don't know, you ate tray food. Besides the fact that whatever, you didn't keep it, whatever it is, right? You distance yourself from Hashem. That's what chassidim do. So that wasn't part of the process. Part of the process was, you know, to change your habits and et cetera. But now that you're saying vidui and talking to Hashem, you have to say ana Hashem. You got to repair the relationship. And you repair relationships by talking to them. You got to talk to Hashem. And realize, I damaged my relationship with Hashem, right? Again, even if it's a shogeg sin, it was a mistake. Okay, you corrected, you fixed it. Didn't take long. Absolutely correct. But wrong is wrong, right is right. What you did was wrong, distance you. We start with ana Hashem. Next, before you mention the very specific issue that you've conquered and are going to say, I'm never going to do it again, you preface it by saying, chatasi avisi pashati. I've done sins on purpose, I've done sins by accident, I've done sins rebelliously, dafka, in your face, God, I'm ticked off. V'asiti kach v'kach, and I did this specific thing which I've been working on for 5 years and I'm talking to you about today. I was saying, the machlokas aposkim, which one's chatasi, which one's avisi, and which one's pashati. So we're not going to get into that. That could be a whole class in and of itself. But the idea is it's intentional sins and unintentional sins and rebellious sins, like where you did it not because I'm just starving hungry or because I just love tray food or because I want that job. It's because I want to, like, punch God in the face because I'm angry. You start by that by saying, because you have to recognize the fact that you're a hero. You've changed. You're amazing. Your self-esteem has gone up, and that's beautiful and wonderful and amazing. But do remember, there's other stuff to work on. Don't forget about that. You got to admit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't say I fixed everything. I want to talk about one thing. How about the others? Chatasi avisi pashati. I have other things to work on, and, you know, we'll figure out which one's next. Right? It's not that I'm saying that now that I've corrected this, I am now the perfect human being and I have nothing else to work on. Hi, God, have a nice day. So you say, generic, not details, but admit the fact that chatasi visi pashati, but on vasiti kach v'kan, this particular thing, right, I used to do it, asiti kach v'kach, and on this thing, I regret. There's other things maybe I don't regret. I have to learn about them. I'm not talking about the other stuff. But on this one, nichamti, I regret it. It was a bad thing to do. And now the Rambam adds a word which did not appear in the tshuva process. Uboshti b'masa, I'm embarrassed. Rambam didn't mention embarrassment earlier. What's the difference between embarrassment and regret? Regret is a brain issue. It's a cognitive. Was that the right thing to do or wrong thing? No, it wasn't so bad. Something you don't regret? No, it wasn't bad. It was bad. It was a bad thing. It should not have happened. It should not have happened. Should have happened? Shouldn't have happened. Shouldn't have happened. okay? I regret it. Boshi is an embarrassment, is an emotion. And specifically, embarrassment is a function of who you are and who saw what happened. Just to bring you back to high school, the example I always give in high school is, you're a geeky ninth grader, and you fall down a flight of stairs. No one sees you, so you look around. You're not embarrassed. The coolest senior in the school saw you. Ooh, you're embarrassed. I said, if you fall down the flight of stairs and there's me, Rabbi Feigenbaum, I'm your principal, you'll be mortified, right? Same thing here. Now that you're talking to Hashem, the process until now has been working on changing that habit, which might involve a lot of Hashem if it's been at Olam Mokom, and it might depending on who and why and what's going on. But now that you're talking to Hashem, you got to say, I used to do this, I regret it, it was a horrible thing, and oh my gosh, Hashem was watching me the whole time. Do you believe Hashem saw you doing it? Yeah. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I used to do it. I'm a quality person, but now looking back and realizing what a bad thing it was, realizing that Hashem was watching, it's embarrassing. And I'll never do it again. And as we said, that's our issue. So what's the vidui on Yom Kippur? We're not saying we'll never do it again. I mean, some things maybe. But we have this whole Hashem of Gano Gazal, and we list all these Averos. You buy the booklets. They list them for you, different examples, right? Like, but what's the process? What do we say? The kernel of the punchline, and we'll do it better next week, but let me just get in. We have a few more minutes. The kernel of the punchline is a very lovely mushel. You're walking down the street, and you see a store which has amazing, beautiful paintings, and you watch it. Wow! These are beautiful. I wish I could have a painting like this in my house. He says, well, yeah, just, you know, $50,000 a painting and they're yours. Oh, I got $50,000. No, really? No, it's beautiful, sir. It's real. I would love to have a painting. I don't have $50,000. Okay, sorry. You walk by a few months later, sale. All paintings, $10. The guy sees you and says, hey, young man, remember you said you loved my paintings? But $10. They're only $10. See, if you really did love the painting, you'll say, well, great, $10. If you actually, you hated the paintings. But, and you could have had $50,000, but you didn't want the painting. So you say, oh, I don't have that much money. So that's only $10. I don't have any cash on me. I'll be right back. I mean, you don't want the painting. Let's be honest. It wasn't the money. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Dir Shoshem B'Matzo, is a whole different ball game. Because on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, all we're trying to do is get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write us in the Sifrei Chaim. Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim, that's present tense. The book of those who are alive, the book of those who are dead. Are you alive? Are you alive enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you another year to keep the process going? Well, are you cognizant of what you got to work on? No, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a great guy. What's your problem? Oh, yeah, you think you're a great guy? No, I don't think I'm a great guy. I don't have anything to work on. So you don't need any more. What do I need you for? The whole point of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim. Rav Friedlander gives a great mushel of the din of Rosh Hashanah. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us every day, the Gemara says. There's actions and reactions to what we do. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is an overall discussion. I could say, you know, what that guy did yesterday was a wrong thing. What that guy did, what he did, you know, on Tuesday was wonderful. That's things. Overall, is he a generous guy or a cheap guy? Overall, he's either a generous or cheap guy. Cheap guys give tzedakah, and generous people have bad days. Is he a wrong cheap guy? On Rosh Hashanah, overall, are you Chaim? Are you overall part of the program? Listen to his mushel. His mushel is when you start a business, you make a plan. I'm going to have start with two salesmen, a certain warehouse, one driver, two secretaries. This is our advertising budget. And you hope at the end of the first year to make X amount of money and plow some back into the business. Right, in year two, year three. What do you do at the end of the year? You see, are we ahead of the game or behind the game? If you're ahead of the game, wow, we made more money than we thought. Where'd that happen? It was the secretaries. They were unbelievable. They made like a million phone calls and they got sales. Wow, give her a raise. Get another secretary. We lost money. Why? Delivery guys aren't delivering. People aren't buying because they're not, stuff's not coming on time. Fire that delivery guy. Get a better delivery person. No one's making sales. Well, we have two salesmen here. Joe brought in Sam, you didn't bring any sales. I gave you a car, I gave you a secretary, I gave you a $100,000 expense account. We lost money on you. I know, boss, but I'm learning on the job. Next year's going to be better. We can't afford to lose money on you, Sam. Okay, Sam, we'll give you another chance. Can I have a raise? Raise! Be happy I didn't fire you, right? After a while, the boss may say, Sam, we are losing money on you, Sam. Goodbye. God is deciding, are you part of the program? Are you going to be rehired for next year? It's obviously based on past performance, right? And if your past performance has not been stellar, so besides asking God to rehire you and after maybe a raise, you got to show a culture worker, I'm with the program, I'm part of the company. I know my mistakes, I understand, I'm worth slow, it takes time, okay, and it's not a one-year company here, it's 120 years, but I'm working on it, I'm trying, I care, I want to make sales, I want to increase culture mind, I'm proud to be part of the Jewish people, it's a miracle, I'm Nivchar, I'm with you.
It didn't look like that, Feigenbaum.
So we made a few mistakes. I know that. But I am really going to be one of your best salesmen. We weren't last year. Yeah, I know, you know, but that was, there was issues. We're working. You see, we're working on it. It's going a little slow. Yeah, it's a little slow, but we're working on it. You're Sifrei Chaim. See, you're in Sifrei Chaim, your book of life. As we will see, the Russian, the Yom Kippur Vidui never says, I'll never do it again. What should you say when you list your avera? Say whatever you can. This one, I'm going to read a book. This one, that's next year. This one, actually, I'm okay with this one. I finished that 2 years ago. I'm never going to do that one again. This one, I'm going to go to a class. This one, 5 years from now. At least make a plan. I'm alive. I get it. I understand what needs to be done. And I'm human. And, it takes 120 years to get your act together completely. I'm not avoiding responsibility. But I'm just, what do you want me to say? I'll never do, I'll list this whole list of 22 Avera, say I'll never do any of them again. That's not true. God doesn't ask you to say something not true. That's why that line's not in there. It's just a list. And what do you say about it? Whatever is true. Right, and let me put in a plug for those that, for those on the video, just to plug what you said, the God list, the power, the power of I'm clean for a day, even though that's not the Rambam's I'll never do it again, but the Rambam, the whole point is, because you need to build your confidence, I'm clean for a day. If I can be clean for a day, then I can be clean for another day. If I be clean for 2 days, I can be clean for 3 days. Right, if you're going to say it's either the rest of my life for nothing, so that's always going to be nothing. That's exactly the point.
You say that you talk about Rosh Hashanah, we don't
do that. Oh, right. Just one quick point. You're right. On Rosh Hashanah, we do not, let's just, because it's there of Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, we do not mention our sins, not allowed to mention our sins, because you can't bother to discuss the details of your sins until you ascribe to the goals of the company. The first thing the boss asks is, are you into the goals of the company? Do you care about what we're trying to do? The whole focus of Rosh Hashanah is, God should rule over the whole world, evil should be destroyed, it should all come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're saying. Now, do you care about that? During the year, we didn't think about that so much. We're busy with our lives, with our parnassah, with details, 100%. On Rosh Hashanah, we forget the details for the moment. The first thing is, Hashem is Melech, he runs the show, I accept that. I know it didn't look like that, we'll discuss that Yom Kippur, but notwithstanding anything I might have done, Shem Melech, Shem Molech, Shem Yimlech Olam Voed, what do I care about? I care about is kavod li'amecha, sason li'recha, simcha li'artzecha. That's what I care about. What have I done for that? Maybe not enough. I know. We'll talk about it later, God. But I got to, if you don't care, sason li'recha, simcha li'artzecha, nah, I just want a new Porsche, and that's fine, God. I don't care. You want evil to disappear? Nah, I don't care about evil. I just want a new car. Okay, thank you. Then if that's all you care about, that's all you care about. I hear you. Right? But we would like to think that, no, I could use a new car, but I do care. Sasa mirecha, simcha liyartzecha, right? Kol ha'yishak, kol ha'tove, right? Yomar kol neshama, every soul in the world should see the truth. So much hypocrisy, so much craziness. Does it bother you? Okay, you can't do anything about it. But does it bother you, the hypocrisy? Would you want everybody that has a neshama to recognize truth? You care? So tell God you care. And then you'll discuss what you can personally do about it this coming year. Got the for it? See if it's even time for a good gemen. Sure, everybody should have kodesh b'kodesh together with everybody's filos. And we'll focus on Yom Kippur next week. Dimir Sash, Dimir Sparach.
The eagle has four letters to it. E.